Okay.
Shit happens. It makes you question things. And more shit happens, and you start to doubt everything you were about. Some people do, anyway. My partner, Clayton? He never did. I may have burnt his journals, but it's not going to snuff out what he was trying to build. What we were both trying to do.
Kim,
Stuart,
and Scott.
Welcome to the Fear Me podcast. Oh shit, what episode is this?
This is episode 155. Oh. And we are covering Fear the Walking Dead episode 13 of season 5.
Yes, leave what you don't.
Oh, y'all are just continuing.
Yeah, leave what you don't, Kim. Leave what you don't.
If you can't be our leader moving in, we'll just kind of move right over you like a steamroller that rolled over America.
Rolling over you like a big rig. How are you doing today, Scott? How's your week going?
Just lovely.
We're recording a little bit later in the week, unfortunately.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Or fortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well,
whichever way you want to look at it. Yeah. I guess it's, what, the 18th anniversary of 9/11?
Yes, it is.
You should all remember that.
That's right.
And so hopefully anybody out there who has relatives or whatever that were involved in that, we're thinking of you.
Yep. And all the folks out in the Bahamas, too, right now.
Yes, absolutely. Totally. And the North Carolina coast, for that matter. I mean, yep. A lot of people got really nailed. So, yeah.
True.
On a happier note, how's your week been going, Kim?
Recovering from a concussion.
Kim's not so bouncy as we thought.
Nah, man, there is some stuff going down this past week.
It's been a weird week. I got a concussion on Sunday. Still kind of trying to bounce back from that.
You got taken out by Bacon and T-Bone.
Mm.
Yes.
Which are two linebackers for the Falcons, right?
Yes.
Two meaty dogs at the dog park. Took my legs right out from underneath me and I hit the ground hard. So
they don't make those dog parks very soft, do they?
Actually, it was. I was in dirt, so there was like dust everywhere. It was like Linus falling into
a
dust.
You just have a weak brain. Is that what it is?
Right now, I have a very weak brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we've also learned that in Atlanta, or at least this part of Atlanta, people seem to be naming their dogs after cuts of meat.
Yes.
Lots.
Yes. That's not unusual. Used to be football players they named after cuts of meat.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Now you get animals. I gotcha.
Yeah. Anyways, that's happening. So sorry if I don't make sense tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Luckily though, she's making sure to ingest a good bit of alcohol, so that ought to clear things up perfectly.
I've been trying to tell her like the past few days it really hasn't been that much different.
That's very sad.
That is pretty sad.
Anyways.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, and I'm doing good too, guys. Thanks. So what are you drinking, Scott?
I couldn't remember where we were at.
It's lovely to hear from you. I am drinking a... I'm drinking a beer from my trip out west. It's from...
You brought another one, and you're like saying you didn't bring anything back.
I brought three separate beers.
Son of a...
That's it?
Weenie. Yep.
What is it? What is it?
This one's from Seven Seas Brewing Company, and it's called Bay to Bay. It's B-A-Y, the number 2, B-A-E.
Okay.
It is a hazy IPA. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. The problem I'm having with some of the hazy IPAs right now is they're going way overboard with the citrus in these things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes it's like drinking an alcoholic peach. you know, I'm getting a little tired of the sweetness that's involved with some of these things.
I don't think a peach is actually citrus, but
whatever. This is good. it's got a medium punch to it. Now, one thing though, I did think was kind of cool. So I'm sitting out there drinking one of these things. And you know how they sometimes have these labels now that are kind of like a latex or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they're putting on the cans. So I'm looking at this thing, and I said, I was looking at it, I was going, wait, what is that? Looked like some weird printing on there, right? So I started peeling the label off.
Uh-oh.
And it turns out it's another one of their beers underneath. They just recycled the whole can and put a new label on top of it.
Oh, that's funny.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Rare Red Parrot Single Ale or something,
huh.
And it's by the same company. Yeah,
that's hilarious. Funny. That's very funny.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I ultimate recycling.
Yep,
true,
they're
totally
recycling their stuff and putting a new label on it, which, you know, I don't necessarily have a problem with. I just thought it was really weird.
Yeah,
but now you need to get the other beer and see if it was any good. And
I
that
did
might
get the other beer.
Oh, and
oh, really? You have that one too?
I had that one while I was out there, and I think I even pushed it on, what's our Untappd or whatever it is?
Yep, Untappd. And was it any good?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It wasn't as good as this one, but
well,
it was
pretty
good.
Maybe that's why they're wrapping those in this one and putting them out.
Could be. Could be, but they're still producing the other one. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of cool.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. What are you guys drinking?
So we're drinking something from Wicked Weed Brewery. We've had this on before.
Wicked Weed.
Napoleon Complex.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. It's kind of sweet, but I really like it.
I think it's
one of their best.
Yeah, it's a lighter IPA. Not quite as full-bodied as some of the other stuff that we've had.
A couple others
recently.
They have, like Wayfarer. Remember we had that one when we were at the brewery up there?
Wayfarer?
Much stronger than Napoleon Complex.
Yeah, this one's really good. What is this one? This one's only 5.2.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, I got
the other
your
one
joke
they,
there, Kim.
Yeah, the other one I like too is Lieutenant Dank.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Lieutenant Dank
Lieutenant
is good.
Dan.
And the Pernicious,
Lieutenant
I think,
Dank.
Is the other one that they've
Pernicious
is
good.
Is out a lot of places.
Yeah,
now,
Pernicious
is
their
good.
Highest seller, I believe.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. But no, I like this one.
I like that one
more.
Better though. I like Napoleon Complex better.
It's a lighter beer with a lot of good flavor to it. So
awesome.
Okay.
Very good.
Tonight we are covering season 5, episode 13, Leave What You Don't.
Well, so we finally get to get the backstory on Logan. Which is great. You know, it's funny. Last episode, I think, was better. I think we kind of all thought somewhat of better about that last episode. And
I don't remember the last episode.
Concussion. So, you know, concussion.
So, but you know, it's funny. But the one thing we've been saying, though, is we still don't get some of the answers for any of this stuff. Well, you know what? We got a shitload of answers in this episode.
We did. I don't. Yeah, I agree with your point on that. I think the last episode I enjoyed more, but this one kind of wrapped everything up for a lot of the questions. Because, I mean, yeah, I was beating the hell out of why aren't they back at the oil field if this is such a problem. And we knew that some people were back there, but it was like, why are they hiding from Logan?
Yeah.
Out in the open instead of being back at the oil field. Well, it seems that the oil field isn't exactly a very good place to be.
No. And I did like this episode, but I do have to say that those were some of the least tense confrontations I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It wasn't like anybody was going to get shot until the twist. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, but I think it was a really good episode because there actually was tension this time. There was a little bit.
It was really weak tension.
But it was like, oh my God, what's getting ready to happen?
You weren't like, I didn't think there was any chance. You weren't like, don't do that. You were kind of like, oh, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I didn't think at any point that I was expecting anybody to start shooting each other.
No, but I think with this one, I liked this one because we had an endpoint, like we had a goal for the end of this episode. And that was, let's find out what's going on with Logan.
Yes.
What's his whole story? Mm-hmm. And then, like, let's find out what's going on with our people at the camp. Like,
Right.
Why are some of our people not there? And how the hell do they get there so fast when they do need to get there? Well, like stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it pulled a lot of the threads together.
Yes.
That were leaning out there, which is good, and then brought us a step into the next issue. I really liked Logan's character in this. Mm-hmm. Both sides of him. The good guy and the bad guy. Just because Matt Fuhrer, I think, did a really good job of showing the different dynamic that came from what he had dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we still don't know, you know, anything about the horse people, the equestrian gang, and what their influence was on him. That what influenced his change of heart and so forth, which I thought was pretty touching. Mm-hmm. The one thing I was never quite clear of, and so when he was calling for Clayton to come and help that girl in the what was it called? The weed gas station? Feeder?
The feed bag.
Feedback, thank you. Clayton didn't answer, and that was because she had been dealing with Sarah and Wendell, right?
Well, Clayton was dead because Sarah had stolen the truck at that point.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to remember what happened to Clayton.
Because they stole the truck, and then Clayton got attacked. Okay. And Sarah felt bad because she didn't go back and help him.
Right, right, right.
So,
We eventually see Clayton in the car, right?
Yeah, we saw him in a car.
And one of our people was in the car with him and hung out with him until he died?
Yeah, and he was dying, and she gave him the beer.
Yes.
She gave him the beer, and she kept it cold.
Yeah, that was touching. That was really... So it made more sense than why Logan was so pissed at them.
Yes.
Once he figured out that they were the ones that did that to Clayton.
Yes, he was specifically pissed at Sarah, which is right. and even pointed out to the fact that she could not make up for it no matter what she did. No matter how many people she saved, it wasn't going to make up for the fact that he was killed.
Yeah, and Sarah kind of felt the same way.
Yeah, she totally, you can see it in her face. She's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, she was really struggling with the whole situation.
But I found it hard to believe that just one incident turned him like it did.
Turn Logan?
Yeah.
Like that?
I don't think the one incident was the thing.
I think the fact that was that he probably wasn't totally buying into what Clayton was doing the entire time, but he was still helping him out with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He seemed pretty dedicated to this shit at the beginning.
I guess. The way he stated... Yeah, he did. He did. But the way he stated it was like... It was Clayton's thing, and obviously Clayton knew where the oil was coming from. He wasn't part of any of that.
Right.
So the infrastructure that started this whole, you know, we're going to, you know, put boxes out for people. But, he definitely was all in on it, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
I felt like...
It seemed like Clayton was the one that was the mastermind behind it, I guess.
But I feel like that there was some kind of a... it was a weak point for him after the girl got killed. And... Something with these other people took advantage of that. And they changed his attitude more than anything, made him more cynical about stuff. I think the episode with the girl in the feed store made him vulnerable to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really shook him up.
Well, and I going back on the earlier comment that we made about there wasn't any confrontation or anything that seemed stressful. I think that opening scene where he is trying to get to her and he's running, and you know that she's at like mile marker 155, and you see
she was at 60
or 165.
61 or something like that, and he made it all the way there.
He was like 3 or 4 miles away. He was miles away, but yet he was running his ass off to get there and like talking to her and saying, I'm coming. Don't, you know, make sure you barricade.
Barricade. Do whatever you can. Yeah.
That was a tense scene.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that...
he just walked right in there and there was only 4 of them. That's when I was like, there was only 4?
That's all that's left.
She couldn't bend herself for that.
I know. But when you're picturing in your head and she's like, you know, I can't hold him back. There's too many. And and he just walks in and there's 4 of them right there and takes them all out.
He's like, oh.
Yeah, one looks at him and is like, eh, what?
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sure there were plenty
more.
Kicking
his teeth.
I really liked that transition for him. I liked learning the backstory like that. It didn't bother me that they had a coincidence of having a very similar situation in the same place happen at that time also. Normally, I think I'd be ripping that if I didn't feel like the story was worth it. But yeah. I felt in this episode the story was worth it to have, you know, somewhat of a lame coincidence happen.
Yeah, well, there, I mean, it was trying to be an obvious mirroring of those storylines. So,
yep.
So, and to then have it be that, okay, Wes shows up. Yes, again, convenient, but it was a nice touch.
Yep.
To prove him wrong on that and hopefully turn him back to the better before they kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I felt like there was a couple of little bit of silliness in this episode, a couple of things, but I thought this episode did a really good job of bringing Wes back. I thought was great the way they brought him back.
Yep.
I thought the murder of Logan was shocking.
Yes, you know, it was.
Totally caught me off guard.
And the almost murder of the girl with the handgun when you hear her make the one shot and there was a long pause.
Yes. Yeah, and then more shooting. Yeah, that was a great scene. Yeah. That was a great scene. And then the introduction of some really interesting bad guys.
Who, incidentally, is led by the girl from The Boys.
Yes.
Do you recognize her?
Yes, she was the assistant Elizabeth Berkley. No, what's...
Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue's character, right.
Yeah.
Who was the company CEO or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. She's played kind of a weirdo in a couple of things. Didn't she go off on the, or go kind of go crazy at the end when things started falling apart for Elizabeth Shue in the series?
On The Boys, yeah.
Yeah, when she got fired.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Boys, you need to go see it.
Yes, yeah. The Boys is very good.
It is awesome.
Again, that's
Amazon.
We should
be covering that.
Yeah, it's Amazon.
Right? I would totally cover that show.
Yeah, that show was incredible. Hmm. So you guys finally finished it?
Yeah.
Yep. And she was also Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, was she in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, evidently. I don't know what that is, but I saw that.
Which was a...
It's another, like, girl show.
Yeah. Very typical...
Typical?
Stereotypical
he
name
He put
of...
them together. Typical. Stereotypical. I like it. That is the melding of one word.
Stereotypical name of Ginger.
Of Ginger?
Yes. Her name is Ginger in that.
Oh.
And she's the redhead.
And now she's Ginny.
I can't keep up.
Yeah, and now she's Ginny. So I guess if you're just a redhead.
Who is Ginny?
That's her name in the Fear of the Walking Dead.
Isn't it? The boys girl.
The equestrian girl.
I am... Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not keeping up. All right, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. But so, I mean, I guess that's the name that follows her around everywhere. Just because she's got red hair.
Okay. Maybe so. She's a ginger. But yeah, I mean, I'm very intrigued by... let me put it this way. This episode captured my intrigue again in Fear of the Walking Dead.
Same.
Yeah, you know, it recovered that, which is great. I'm quite thrilled.
I still want to know more about the group that Logan hooked up with.
Mm-hmm. That's
that
them.
Lady and all those guys.
The equestrians, yeah.
No. The people who they killed... His gang.
Oh, yeah. Right.
His overly threatening do-nothings?
Because they seem to control... They seem to control his every step.
You better shut the hell up, or I'm gonna put my gun down.
Well, it was kind of a loose affiliation with them. I mean, I don't think...
I know we keep saying that, but
it's... him. I don't think they controlled him, and I don't think he was totally part of them. You know, that's why they kind of... said, oh, to hell with this, and left, you know, when things started going bad.
They didn't have anything else.
Right.
But I guess it was all because of this other group that he had to have his tough men around or something listen to him or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, and well, I think because they knew he was the expert on the stuff and he could find stuff and so forth. The thing I...
But they were definitely not affiliated with the horse people.
They were not equestrians.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever rode. But the one thing that was got really discombobulated in the middle there is what, you know, all the problems they all of a sudden started having at the oil refinery, You know, it's like, the fire's too hot. No, the fire's too cold. You know, what yeah. the hell? You know, it just started going crazy. And then you got Lucy running around going, well, I can show them how to do it. I can show
well,
them.
Well, I think what happened was that those people came
yeah,
in.
Shit went once down real fast.
Well, they found them and they said, well, we're going to start refining this quicker. And mm-hmm. they didn't know what they were doing. And Lucy was right. like, no, if you have too much smoke, if you try doing it too quickly, for one thing, you're going to have bad effects. You're not going to be able to actually cook the gas. But right. also, you're going to start attracting all the walkers in here.
And you'll ruin the equipment.
Yes, yes. Right. So it was just their ignorance coming in there. They just kind of threw the whole system out of whack.
Right. Well, the whole situation there just broke down really fast. For everybody.
Yeah, it was weird that she wasn't, like, more forceful about, like, okay, you're screwing everything up and we're all going to die.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, when I say the whole thing broke up really fast, even our gang's situation there broke up really fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it went from a place that they were organized and making gas to being something that was pretty much ready, let's abandon it. Because no one was able to do anything with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of that part of it. I had a little bit of a, I was kind of had my head spinning a little bit on that one, like Kim.
Well, it was questionable. Is okay? You got it so hot you can't do anything now.
Yeah,
I mean you can't put any water or anything to stop it.
And no, just all because of a sudden Lucy some started saying it? That. Yeah,
yeah.
It was anyway. Yeah. It was, but. It led to some good theater later on.
Yes, it did. And they're like completely screwed down in that quarry,
right?
Because they're in just a hot box at that point. Oh, yeah. They're in I guess their own campfire.
And they're raining
there's
men.
There's no air getting that out.
They're raining men.
Yeah, it's raining men.
It's raining men.
Okay, I might use that for. Our interlude song on this one.
Some of them splattered quite nicely.
They did.
Yeah, they did. And some of them just squelchy. got the crawlies. So anyway, yeah, so everybody's kind of just going their own, fighting the dead, flying off the cliffs. John's picking off everybody. Now, let me tell you something. This is what I got to say. This is the one thing where I kind of was like, oh, come on. It was my favorite scene of the show, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, are you kidding me? Is everybody in this situation now a master shot?
Well, they've had lots of practice.
Jesus Christ, but come on. People are shooting from distance and there's no misses ever?
Well, I do have to say that, okay, John picking people off, he's supposed to be, right?
Right.
But then when they get all trapped down in there with Logan's guys and they're like, okay, finally we're all kumbaya, we're all good. And then all of Logan's people get taken out, and it's like, oh, I guess they just got, like, a whole squad of Johns up there.
Exactly. That's what I was laughing at. I mean, not one miss. There was not one person who had a chance to hide.
Everybody was, like, direct shot right in the forehead.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
wow, this is a really, really sniper heaven out here in the apocalypse.
The point that, was it June that said it? Why would we make a contract with you or a deal with you guys if you're just going to do this?
Yeah, exactly. If we see what happens to those that are no longer useful for you.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
So the equestrian people knew Logan?
Yes.
Logan and his people?
Yes. Well, they were working up with Logan and his people.
So at the feedback, at the very start, When the girl gets killed by all the walkers, he comes out and he's screaming and crying and on his knees out, you know, in front of the feed bag. They show up at that point, and that's when they make their deal. So this
is Jenny and the equestrians showed up at that point and said that they had the same mission.
Yeah, and this is before he has his group of thieves.
Right. So I think they were reliant on is they knew that he knew where the gas was.
Yes.
So they were affiliating with him and his group in that they would provide the fuel that was going to be needed.
Which is the question of, okay, then why, you know, did they give him these ruffians to help him find, you know, to fulfill his promise,
okay.
I guess, is my question.
I don't necessarily think so, Stu.
The only reason is
because the equestrians seemed to be pretty refined compared to his group. They were pretty bedraggled. So I'm kind of thinking that They were two different groups there.
But they all were beholden to him to find this gas because they all seemed to owe it to the equestrian group.
Yes, the equestrian group was right. They were kind of overseeing the whole thing.
Which brings us to something bigger.
Mm-hmm. What?
What is the something bigger? What is this is all going to help something bigger?
Well, like they said, we are like colonists and
we're expanding and
colonizing everywhere. We're colonizing everywhere, and the whole thing was, you know, we're gonna do things. We have the same. I think Logan broke it down more truthfully than Jenny and the equestrians did when he said that we want to do the same thing, but you're not going to like the way we want to do it. And I think what he was doing is he was breaking down for them really what the equestrian people are about. So whatever their expansion and colonization and so forth involves, is probably somewhat oppressive. Because even the girl that was in the feed bag at the end, she wouldn't give her name because she was running away from that group.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
So we know there's something dire about this other group. And come on, face it. Jenny is much too smiley and arrogant to be anything but a bad guy.
Exactly.
And, totally. You know, and I tell you what, man, they do love their southern accents for the bad guys, don't they? We got the Whispers, and now we got Jenny. You know, and I'm just like, okay.
She mirrored Alpha. Definitely. Alpha.
She's going to be a fun bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Alpha.
I know, but she carried herself just like Alpha, too. It was wow.
But you know what? I like her better than Alpha.
Me, too.
Alpha's
not
just
as theatrical.
I like Alpha better.
I think Alpha's ridiculous.
I think Jenny's going
to
be
wipe out the Whispers. I think.
Oh, I'm not ready for that.
I think Jenny's going to be like a third or fourth in command. Like, I don't think she's really that much of anything.
I don't know about that.
Let's give the girl credit.
Come on. Are you saying women can't run an organization like that, Stuart? Is that what you're
Stuart.
Saying?
No, like I was actually in favor of Alpha, so I'm not saying that at all.
Exactly.
So we're fighting woman against versus women. Woman. I'm picking one woman, so I'm really not saying women can't do anything.
Yeah.
Me?
Okay.
I don't know how you got there, buddy.
Yeah, I think you're just backtracking, but that's okay.
You keep don't put me in hot water with the wife.
I enjoy nothing more.
Though by the time we get upstairs, she'll probably forget about it.
I will.
She's like a goldfish.
She's
now.
Over there sitting there going, forget about what?
I know. I'm having a really hard time following the whole conversation.
No, but I think they're going to be interesting bad guys. And so forth.
We're talking about the podcast. We're talking about the show.
Oh,
Fear of the Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, Fear of the Walking Dead. Oh. Fear not the Walking. Fear of the Walking Dead.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
We're doing Preacher right now, Kim.
Yeah,
keep up.
Keep up. Okay.
Keep up.
Okay, so Wes. Wes comes to save the day.
Yes, yes. I like
Where
Wes.
Where the hell has Wes been?
Well, Wes has been out there. He's like he said to Alicia, "Love your trees." He's been out there wandering around like he always does, painting trees and shit like that. And he saw that Alicia
cute
was
scene,
doing
wasn't
stuff.
It? He's like, "I like your phoenix. Your phoenix is really cute."
Yeah. But I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, I like Wes. I'm glad Wes has come into the fold a little bit more.
I liked him in this episode.
I liked him in the last one.
I think the last one, I don't know. He was still just so wishy-washy with the whole book thing.
Yeah, you couldn't buy into the book dedicated to his brother thing.
Well, that he would forget about it after the guy was supposedly shot.
Because I don't think he ever forgot about it. I just think he was just like, I can't believe I did that. He walked away from it.
It was just weird.
Yeah, I think you know, that's kind of the more the realism of, you know, these people that are they find don't necessarily want to be part of a group.
Right.
And Wes was, you know, when he took off, it's like he doesn't owe them anything necessarily. Right. He doesn't owe them an explanation why he's leaving.
Yep.
He's like, he's on his own all the time anyway, so why the hell does he need to even say, he doesn't need to say goodbye, guys, or anything like that.
He's looking
away.
At them, and you know, they're expecting that everybody they run into is going to be thrilled to death that they're there, and they're going to come running to them for the help and so forth. And they're finding people out there that are kind of like, hey, I'm not with a group for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Groups don't do well for me. You know, and Wes was one of those guys. But Wes also, I think, you know, I got it from the last episode. I don't think you got as much as I did, Kim, but Wes has a really good heart. And part of his, he's a very sad character, and part of the reason is because of what happened to his brother.
But and I think that when they found him in the last episode, I think that's when I was talking about a lot of the contradictions between what we're finding out about him versus what he was in the last episode. Like I was saying, it was more of a transition episode. Like he was saying, well, you know, at this point we just got to kill. He was going through that, like, that fight in his own mind of, you know, what am I even doing painting trees when all people do out here is kill. Everybody kills and takes, and it was probably more or less over the fact that his book was taken. You were saying, his book was taken, which was a symbol of the brother that was lost.
Right, and we talked about it. We talked about last week that the West that they saw last episode was a veneer that he wore to hide his pain. You know, and it was a tough guy, I'm on my own, I don't need anybody type thing. But when it came down to it, when it came down to brass tacks in the end, his true heart inside came through, and he was you know, shook up by the fact that he had allowed himself to do that.
Or they caught him in a bad state.
He was excited, or not so much excited, but he was pleased to find out the guy wasn't dead. The guy he thought was a walker was actually alive. And so he was pleased to see the guy was alive, and then the guy attacked him. And he had to kill him in self-defense. But I think he was kind of like, when he found the guy alive, I think he was like, you know, Alicia's right. This is going to screw me up if this guy's dead. And he found him alive. So I think for a second there, it was kind of like, okay, all right. You know, and then he got attacked. Well, I guess my point is that Wes has a good heart underneath. And we got to see a little bit of it by the fact that he got devastated by the fact that he had actually killed somebody. And I think his devastation over that was what made him walk away from the book. He was finally like, I did that for this.
For a book. Right.
The book was incredibly important to him.
Right.
And I understood why it would be incredibly important to him. But was it important enough to kill a man over?
It was like a signed copy of like a number one edition from Stephen King. Scott would probably kill somebody.
It was the stand signed copy first edition. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I've killed for that before. I will do it again.
Did you walk away from it after you did it?
I did, and I didn't feel bad about it either.
Okay. But you walked away with the book.
Oh, absolutely. I got it.
And it was a European edition.
It's right here.
Oh,
look, it even has the blood from the guy you killed.
And it is signed.
It has the blood from the guy you killed to get it.
Does it say Tupac?
Yeah, that kind of sucks. It got a little bit of splatter on it. It sucks.
You know.
Jackass.
So it adds to the story of the book.
Yeah. So, so anyway, that, to me, that gave me a glimpse that the Wes was really a good guy. And this week we got to have it verified, which I thought was great. Why don't we go ahead and take a break? And we'll be right back so that Kim can clear her head. And maybe participate a little bit in the discussion.
Sorry.
We'll be right back. So we're back, and hey, I just wanted to mention, we touched on a little bit earlier, but I thought Sarah's character was fantastic in this episode.
She was great. She was great. Just like you were saying in the last episode, they gave her lines.
And they
gave her some depth, and she wasn't just funny. She was actually serious in this, and part of the actual plan of what was going on.
There weren't jokes flying all the time with her now. I mean, there was real dialogue. There was real emotion involved.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way she went after Logan, you know, just shows that she had such a depth of feeling about how bad she felt about what she did. Mm-hmm. The one thing I didn't quite get, though, is maybe I missed it or whatever, but did Wendell express the same kind of bad feelings about that?
About,
or was this something that, you know, about what happened with Polar Bear?
Seemed like it was more based on her decision. He knew what had happened, right? What had transpired, but I don't think he necessarily had the guilt that Sarah did,
because maybe didn't make the decision as much.
And I think Sarah's the one that she even said, "I wish I had just stopped," because when all that smoke was going around and Logan was caught by all the walkers, right, she said, "I'm going."
And she went
in
back after.
I wish, right, I did this for Clayton.
Right.
And exactly. So I think it was her decision on that. So I don't think he
gotcha.
But it was good to see Wendell again.
Yeah, Wendell. We got to see him. We got to see the oil refinery place. We got to see Lucy and the Children of the Corn.
Yes. I love the guys that are running the pump. You got the walkers chasing birds in a basket.
Chasing rats. Birds. Yeah.
Oh, is it rats? Rats. Okay,
rats.
Sorry. Rats.
And the little kid's pretty obsessed with his rats.
Oh, well, he's his pets. Okay.
That's what it was. So those were the rats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He's those kids are getting freakier and freakier each time they appear.
They are a little freaky. Like, that's you think at one point they're gonna appear at somebody's bedside with a knife.
I'd rather them be freakier.
Really?
Because they're more interesting. Because now they're kind of...
They're going to start growling soon. I mean, they're getting more and more primitive as we see them.
I think little boy guy is going to turn into like a serial killer.
The glasses kid?
Yeah. Because he's super cute. Something's going to happen. He's going to be like, you are
I don't know. I see that group. I see that group getting wiped out at some point. As a tearjerker thing, it's not going to work on me because I find them a little bit annoying these days.
Well, you have a cold heart, too.
Oh, well, that's true. That's good. That's good. Yes, I don't believe in love.
Yeah.
And we sick our children on you every now and then, so you're like, crap kids.
Yeah.
A whole group of children comes into your home. You're like, Jesus Christ.
Human beings, the worst. But anyway, so we got back to seeing the refinery, but even though we didn't get to see the refinery for very long.
Yeah, but it was good to see how it all works and like what they're fighting for this whole time. And
It was actually, I have to admit, I thought it was more primitive than I thought it would be.
Same.
I'm not sure where they all of a sudden learned all about refining gas. Other than, so supposedly Clayton's journal.
Journals, yes.
Yeah, but that's, okay. That teaches you how to build a big old refinery?
Well, it was already built.
I think it was already built,
but they
had to maintain it.
Yeah, so I think this was something that Clayton had already set up.
Gilligan's Island built. I mean, it didn't seem like it was...
It probably was.
A real refinery.
I mean, think about it. Logan and...
Clayton.
Polar Bear. They were still operating it after the whole thing went down, right? With all the... When the
walkers... Well, they weren't, because Logan didn't know how to
Clayton
get there.
Clayton was.
Well, Clayton was. So he probably jerry-rigged everything, because by that time they didn't have electricity.
He MacGyvered it.
It's...
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but you know what, Kim? I gotta say, I'm a little foggy in Clayton and Logan's relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't see how Clayton, Polar Bear... is running a refinery by himself.
Well, the thing that would be weird is, how did Clayton get all this stuff set up when Logan is supposed to be around?
Right.
And Logan not know where all this is happening?
That's what I mean. Well, I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Partners.
It can't be here. Yeah, but it can't be Clayton by himself.
Well, that's what I'm saying, too. They were partners, so why wouldn't
Logan
know about
how to get there?
That stuff?
Maybe he got a concussion.
maybe
it does, or he was gone when Clayton was setting this up and he came back and he bought into Clayton's mission and said, okay, I'm gonna help you out. I don't know.
Maybe Clayton just knew he was not cool.
Well, we don't really know if Logan and Clayton knew each other before all this went down.
Yes, we do. They had a business
CNL.
Together. CNL.
Did they have the business together?
Yes, yeah, CNL is on all the trucks.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
You've got to, that refinery would not be set up by one person.
But it was definitely something that was set up after the apocalypse.
Right. Yeah. Which I was, I guess my point is I was a little disappointed in that. I thought it would have been cooler if they were operating an old refinery that was still working.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make more sense.
Gotcha.
But to have the Gilligan's Island refinery, I thought was a little silly.
Yeah. It didn't bother me that much. Yeah. I thought it was all right.
What did bother me a bit.
It didn't bother me at all.
What really bothered me was the Luciana agreeing to stay behind when the whole group left. Because, like...
That bothered you?
That really bothered me.
You know what? That didn't bother me either. Very happy. Because I was like, God, we get rid of Lucy finally.
But we're not getting rid of her. She's going to be a thorn in our side because now she's going to start fighting with the chick. The equestrian
She's going to try to... There's going to be a lot of heartfelt talks between her and Ginny.
Well, the rest of the group didn't seem too broken up when Lucy was like...
They did not.
They were like, no, Lucy, you can't do that, as they're, like, backing up, like, walking away.
And then they're like, oh, okay.
Are you sure?
Oh,
are you sure? I mean, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that. Did I say thank you? Where's the rabbi?
Get in the truck.
I did enjoy watching Wendell start complaining about the fact that he was at the oil refinery all the time. He was at the oil refinery all the time. Oh. He was like, can I get out of here now? This place is disgusting.
I thought it was funny that all the people, like the rabbi, like all those people just started popping up around the perimeter.
Oh, yeah.
Just came out of nowhere.
The call went out.
They just happened to be around.
The call went out. The refinery was under attack.
It was very funny.
And exactly. The rabbi showed up.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Bringing the wrath of his rifle.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, I like the rabbi.
I did too.
It's good. Okay, let's wrap up the episode and head into our hits and misses of the episode.
Yes, sir.
Kim.
Okay.
Kim, ladies first.
Ladies first. Okay, so my hit is Sarah's one-liners. We're not here to make our iron bark. Stuart liked that one, apparently.
Yep, that was good.
Yeah, and then you're a real shit ass with the thank yous.
Yeah, that was good. I did like that. That was great. That was funny.
Good stuff. Hit number two is the walkers falling into the quarry.
Okay.
Are you already giving twos?
Yeah.
You did not even ask for permission to do that. You're just going to start throwing. You might be ruining other people's hits, is all I'm saying.
Right. Okay. Exactly. You're just going to cover them all in your first thing.
And
we just get shit for ourselves trying to come up with another hit because you hit on all of them.
Pretty much. Use your brains.
Pretty damn selfish for a dizzy person.
Jeez.
Okay. All right. Stu, your hit?
Mine was when Sarah popped out of the cooler and they caught those
folks. That was good.
And Dwight said, yes. I'm glad I kept you alive because now I have a way into Logan's
quarry. Right. Exactly.
Or into the refinery.
That was great.
That was good.
I agree.
I forgot about that.
That was excellent. That was a good scene. And what is it? Sarah jumps up and she says, just because you can't ask for directions?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I thought that was an excellent, good one, Stu. My hit was Sarah, to tell you the truth. I mean,
she was good.
Throughout the episode, I think she was my hit last week, too. But the depth of the character just came flying through very clearly and very believable. Mo Collins did a great job with the emotion that she was portraying. I mean, it really was gut-wrenching when you were seeing her struggling with her feelings towards Logan. And so forth, and the fact that Logan blamed her for his descent into darkness, if you want to put it that way, because of what happened with Polar Bear. So anyway, I really did think Sarah was my hit of the episode.
Yeah,
she's awesome. She's a very strong character, and I hope they keep her around for a long, long time.
I just love the fact. I know you were saying your hit was her funny lines, but I like the fact that they've gone past her funny lines.
Yeah.
She's no longer a cartoon character who's just, you know, there for the comedy. She was a real character with some serious depth. I mean, I thought last week I really loved it when we found out she was Jewish and her interaction with the rabbi was fantastic. I thought that was hilarious, you know. but I really felt like we got to really know Sarah deep down in this episode. And you know, I had said in the past that Sarah and Wendell really didn't matter in this show anymore because they were just two-dimensional characters. They didn't have anything to them. Well, I certainly have changed my opinion about Sarah. Wendell is still pretty two-dimensional. But Sarah, that's
because they haven't given him a chance yet.
Exactly. And I'm glad they finally did with her. And also, you know, it really made her shine in the fact that we didn't have to listen to June all night, which was kind of nice. With her spouting of help people.
Are you trying to say you don't like women talking?
I'm tired of everybody explaining to everybody about how they help people. Jesus Christ.
I'm just
Christ.
Trying to get back at you for that earlier.
I know. And it didn't work. I'm just tired of them all explaining to us about how they help people. You know what? We get it. Yeah. Everybody gets it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's not one person in this show now that doesn't understand that they're helping
people. Yeah, how about we... Yeah, let's see some action versus describing each and every time about what the depths to what you're doing to help people.
Even the horse whisperers, I mean, they get it. They know that they're out there to help people.
Well, I think that might be why you like Wes, because Wes, like, does stuff, even hidden stuff that you don't know about his character that's happening, but he's not out there professing it all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
He just does it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like...
Yes. Let's see your action so I don't need to hear about it. And please, Morgan, stop droning on about it.
Well, maybe that's why you like this episode as well. You never really saw Morgan.
There wasn't June and there wasn't Morgan and they weren't talking about their life.
Which is interesting because, I mean, at the beginning of the season really, well, maybe the end of last season, it was like, oh, okay, well, you know, yeah, Morgan's like interesting because, you know, he's Morgan. And then, you know, I mean, it was like a kind of a shame that they were cutting off some of these other characters and stuff. But it was like, well, you know, we know some of the backstory. We know there's depth. He's a good actor and all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it is kind of tiring just hearing the same freaking story over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that the writers were just filling time by repeating the same stuff over and over again. It was overkill.
Well, the problem with that is the way they were filming it, the whole premise of Al filming everybody's story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've already heard a lot of these stories, and now we've got to relive them because she's interviewing everybody. And the way they're communicating with her in these videos, it's like, for the love of God, are you going to toot your own horn any harder than what you're doing right now? It's like, it doesn't seem authentic about, like, why their mission is so important to them.
Right. And when you look at Morgan's character, you're kind of like, you know, either shit or get off the pot. I mean,
Same with Al.
And move on, or don't get over it and let's stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this whole, you know, emotional dilemma, that's it's overkill. And it's
I think he's a little bipolar, honestly.
You think so?
Could be, yeah, because he's like a roller coaster, man. You don't know where you're going to catch him at.
That's true. He may have to start clearing again, so we don't know when that's going to happen. That's inevitable. It's kind of like Rick. Well, Crazy Rick will always be back.
They're having like the spaghetti dinner or whatever they were having the other night, and Morgan doesn't get sauce on his.
So he starts
clearing. Can just start clearing everybody.
Yep. It's time to clear.
All right, what are your misses? I guess I'm supposed to
so you're the starter on the misses.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see. My miss is...
Your brain.
Yep. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, that is a miss.
Because
You don't have a miss?
I don't remember.
She doesn't remember the episode enough to have a miss.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I had some issues.
Do you want to team up on my miss?
Sure.
Okay. Kim and my miss is all of Logan's people.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one.
They're useless. They're completely useless.
Agreed.
Other than, like...
Semi-threatening.
There's no threat. There's no threat from them.
Or Logan.
But at least Logan's a good character, and you want to interact with him. The other people are like...
See, I don't think he's a good character. He's been annoying as hell.
Okay, so
no,
it's...
I thought Logan became much more interesting.
Everybody's, you know, coughing, we're going to die. There's all this smoke and everything. And okay, now we're hashing stuff out with Logan. And these people pop out of the trailer all of a sudden and pop out of a truck. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we've just been in like an oven of everything burning off. Yeah. Like all this oil, everything burned off. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the fact they are dealing with oil coming up out of the ground, right?
Yeah.
And yet it all just kind of burned down and everything's okay. Not a big deal. But they all pop out and they got their guns raised and stuff. Like, Jesus, would you people go away? Aren't you supposed to be dead by now?
Don't you understand that when you have a Gilligan's Island refinery, you can turn it off without any problems?
And why are all these people... I mean, they actually were completely useless. They're all following that one woman who's listening to Logan.
Who's grumpy all the time.
Yeah, and when she puts her gun down, everybody's like, oh, okay, well, she's putting her gun down. We gotta put her gun down. And then they all get killed off. I mean, you really don't... They were useless characters.
Totally useless.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah,
that was it. I agree.
That was a good one.
Yep. My Thank miss you. Is the proliferation of sharpshooters in the world now.
I don't think lots of practice. I keep telling you that.
Evidently,
and they obviously all had pictures of who they were supposed to be taking out,
without a doubt. And not only that, there's evidently such a premium on bullets now that you cannot miss anybody.
Yeah,
every shot has to hit.
So, well, sort of a premium, but yet you can use them anytime you want.
Exactly.
Like exactly. You, I mean,
and then you have other characters that are just shooting willy nilly because they can't hit anything.
Yeah,
but. But no, it's just amazing how many sharpshooters there are all over the place.
Yep. But yet they're like, oh, we got to take all these walkers out that are being attracted by the fire. Let's start shooting.
Yeah.
That'll make sure that no more come.
Right. None of the walkers get attracted to the sound of shooting that's off to their left.
Let's have five people shooting now.
Well, you know, John's been doing private lessons.
Yes.
Teaching everybody his little tricks. Possibly.
Well, again, because they have endless ammo now.
Yeah.
And he has endless ammo for specific weapons that he carries.
Well, the good thing is that June's participation was one line and looking concerned behind John the whole time.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I think that was an improvement for the
show.
And
never once did they turn around to make sure there were no walkers behind them.
So
until
true.
The point where there actually was a walker behind them.
So true. Not one walker is attracted to the fact these people are shooting over there.
Yes.
It would have been great if they just like moved to the side and he just walked over the side of the cliff.
Yes.
The walker?
Yes.
That I mean, I don't think.
Watch out, June!
Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't think I've ever seen an instance where walkers are attracted by smoke.
We've had a few smoke walkers.
Walkers in the smoke, but not walkers attracted by smoke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You think?
I think so. In The Walking Dead.
Give me an example.
When back in season 4, when
I'm crying absolute bullshit on this one.
Yes.
When they're walking on the train tracks headed to Terminus.
No, it's just her short-term memory that's screwed up. Her long-term, the stuff that's filed away. It's doing okay.
My Walking Dead stuff. It's doing okay. I'm having trouble with the character names right now.
But they're on the tracks with...
You sure you're in the right file cabinet there?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Old lady, what's her name?
Yes.
Old lady, what's her name?
With the cookies?
Oh.
Carol. Margaret. Carol.
Carol.
Margaret.
Carol. When Carol and...
the kids...
The guy.
Yeah, the big black guy. What was his name? Who had one of the best death scenes of all on the show.
Tyrese,
yes. They're walking along the tracks, and they find the house where...
Yeah, where they end up killing the kid.
Where they end up killing what's-her-face. There's a fire in the distance, and the burned walkers come out.
Right, but they weren't attracted by the smoke.
That's what he's trying to say.
Well, okay, fine.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen walkers attracted.
Because the Terminus people would be that have problems because they're barbecuing all the time.
Right, and they weren't attracting walkers.
You can just edit all that out.
Okay,
because that was not.
I don't know. I thought it was actually really entertaining that we were able to figure it out what you were talking about.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
It's like a maze of thought.
Oh. God.
Well, okay, I think we've covered everything we need to in the episode. So, let's say, I'm certain that we had some listener comments, wouldn't you say, Kimmy?
Yes, we do have some listener comments.
We do have listener comments. In fact, we have a lot of detailed listener comments. People got some stuff to say.
Yeah,
they do. Some of it's not so good.
Some of it's not so good.
Some of it's okay. No, some of it's good. And in fact, I think, you know, it's kind of like...
It's up to us to discern whether it's good or not. We'll let the listeners.
Let's go ahead and start out with something bad. David Valentin from DV Orlando off Twitter said, I still can't figure out what just happened. This is Z Nation level bad. Last week, you introduced a complex character, and this week, he's just a background extra. The cast is so big, I don't know what they're doing half the time. Also, will anyone kill anyone? People pleasantly get out of cars. They point guns at each other and have long conversations, then walk away. Mm-hmm. And John can do headshots in the dark over 100 yards away. And now Luciana is an expert refiner of crude oil.
It's so true.
Let's salute the BS flag, everyone.
David, absolutely on the money. Luciana's also the crude oil refiner. That's a good point. So lame.
Hilarious.
She read Clayton's notes, and now she's a refinery expert. Oh my god.
Cash Cooper at Cash Coop said, "The good. We finally see the refinery. We learn about Logan and his disenchantment about helping others and the people he was finding the refinery for."
The bad, Logan gets killed as soon as he's made a sympathetic figure. The crew took no measures beyond the gate to protect the refinery, and Virginia just kills Logan's team, not recognizing they are still useful in the way Negan would have.
The ugly, the tiresome drawing of guns being held on each other, the sprawling cast. If Virginia's unit is so big, why couldn't her crew find the refinery? And I'm convinced the writing is suffering from AMC budgetary interference. Chiefly the main cast members, not in every episode.
That's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm. That is.
That's a good and harsh point.
That is. Yeah.
The budgetary's part of it.
All right, Mark LaVarnway, this is a good one. I just don't know anymore. I hate to be negative, but I feel the writers have gutted our characters' personalities overnight. If I hear one more time we're here to help, I'm going to puke. I'm here to fuck you up and take your shit is more like it. The kids have got to go. Unfortunately, I don't hold much hope for the new big bads who have shown up. Paper tigers, I suspect. A show of hands, how many of us watch network dramas? I don't, because the writing is heavy-handed and predictable, boiled down to the lowest common denominator viewers. And I'm absolutely afraid for The Walking Dead simply because the ads look cheesy as fuck. But let's cancel Preacher!
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what? I'm actually going to agree with you, because right now I'm more excited about Preacher, which we're not freaking covering.
Yep.
Than Fear.
And the last episode of Preacher, if you did not see it, was actually really good.
It was.
Did you see it, Scott?
Yes, I did.
I was like, wow, that was very well done.
Yeah, it was pretty knock your ass off the wall.
Yes.
Going on there. You know, and I'm trying to keep positive about Fear, even though just a couple of weeks ago I was like, I don't even want to watch the show again.
But I think this was good. I think the past couple episodes were pretty good. So.
Yes. And right. And I think this episode kind of rekindled it. I disagree with Mark in that I think that the bad guys now do have some substance. Maybe. I'm not willing to say they're paper tigers yet. We'll just have to see. I agree
with his comment on that, because I think... yeah, we do have to see, because there is nothing that we really know about them yet. I mean,
No, exactly. But I'm not expecting them to be paper tigers. I am expecting them to have substance. If they don't have substance, then I will be extremely disappointed, because mm-hmm. they're very intriguing as it is.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately expecting it to be disappointing.
Me too. Because they still have the same writers.
Hope. Yeah,
I'm holding out hope.
Same writers as our other people.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to be frustrated with this.
But there is possibility. There is opportunity for mm-hmm. something cool, and especially for the fact that these guys have their own plan of how they're going to, you know, repopulate or retake over the world. It could be interesting. It's just they've disappointed so many times with these opportunities.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Dennis Pierre wrote, and I think Dennis's first comment to us.
Yeah. Is that
right? First time commenter. Nice. Welcome, Dennis.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Exactly. Yeah. Glad they're kind of out of the let us help you plot line. I felt like they were just going in circles with that for most of the season. We agree. It got boring after a few episodes. I just want the show to have a great villain. The first few seasons were dealing with the outbreak. Season three was pretty good. Felt like a Western with a ranch and natives. And now the tables turned on the family that owned the ranch. Last season was meh, but I think Fear the Walking Dead is missing their Governor, Negan, Alpha, or Beta. Not necessarily the same villains as The Walking Dead, but a measurable antagonist. I hope the showrunners are planning a fearful villain soon.
Yes.
Well,
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. The problem we're having is, even with The Walking Dead, the bad guys are turning out to be either completely outlandish or not that scary. The
facade.
Yeah. The, you know, the whispers to me are just completely outlandish. It's almost, it's just silly, the whole idea of them. But then all the other bad guys that we get are, you know, like Logan and so forth, which don't turn out to be bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm kind of with Dennis. I mean, I want to have a... We laughed at Negan.
But they need something scary.
Yeah.
They need something that's like...
They need a Terminus.
Yeah, they need... Yeah, right. They need something that's like really, over really... the top, like...
But not over the top whispers. I mean, no. To me, Terminus was gruesome. I mean, I think Terminus reached you at
fearful.
How gruesome it was. How what a scary idea. It was the Donner.
It was primitive.
Yeah, it was the Donner expedition.
Party. Donner
party. The Donner party. The whispers are just kind of just weird. I mean, they're nothing but weird. And there's no semblance of people. I can't see people turning into that ever in any aspect. I think it's just silly. I mean, that's Lord of the Flies weird.
I disagree with you on that.
Really? You think that they would walk around with the dead's faces on and have really bad Southern accents and act
I'm not talk. I'm not going to comment about the reality
What's
of it because I don't
bad
know.
Bad Southern accent thing.
But
or, I mean, is it me? Are you talking about me?
I've had enough of it. Shut up,
Steve. I'm from the South.
All right, so I think the whispers are actually super duper creepy because they blend in and you don't know who is who, if they're alive or dead.
Yeah.
The way they blend in is very unique, I think. It's something we haven't really seen before. I think they, and we've said this so many times, but with Negan's group and Negan himself, they totally missed the ball. He was supposed to be this badass super character that was worse than the governor. Right now, I feel like the governor was worse than him.
The governor, in terms of scary. The governor was an excellent character because he was believable.
Right.
Negan was not believable. He was more believable than the whispers.
He was believable in that first episode where he killed Glenn and what's his face.
Oh, I thought he was scary when he had, who was it? When he had Daryl captured?
Negan was actually a really good character, but Negan became cartoonish.
Yeah.
That was the problem. It was Jeffrey Dean Morgan's portrayal of Negan.
Yes.
You know, with all the hip thrust and all that kind of crap going on, it just got a little silly. But he was a very, very, very scary character. He could have been.
He could have been, but he wasn't.
But that wasn't because of the character. That was because of Jeffrey Dean Morgan's portrayal of the character.
I agree with that. I think the governor was more scary because it was the first kind of person that you ran across like that in the storyline.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you hit Negan at the start like that and then had the governor, a governor would look like a wimp.
Yeah.
It would look like nothing.
Yeah, I think the only thing to me that... that they did wrong with the governor's character, and this came from the comic books and all, was, you know, for me, the governor was very believable, and he was very charming and so forth and had all his people together, but he was doing horrible stuff behind the scenes to hold things together. I thought the whole thing with the heads in the aquariums was silly. I thought that actually took away from the governor's believability. But, you know... When you just the whispers to me are just silly. I mean, it's just absolutely silly. There's nothing believable. You would not have people just living out in the land like that, putting on the dead's faces, and then having diabolical plans. No. I'm sorry. No. They're either going to be super primitive and dumb, or they're going to be very organized and sophisticated. They're not going to be out there with that kind of garbage. I think they're just cartoonish as hell. And I think it actually hurts the show, to tell you the truth.
Well, nonetheless, Fear the Walking Dead needs to do something like that. Because every villain that we've had, like the Mud Lady, she was pretty good because she was kind of ruthless.
She was kind of cartoonish. Like an episode, right?
She was there for a few episodes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, three or four.
I was disappointed in her because I really would have liked to have seen more of a diabolical serial killer.
Oh, yeah, I would have liked to have seen that. They cut her short before she had a chance.
She wasn't clever. I mean, she was just kind of, she was out front about her weirdness. I wanted someone who had the weirdness hidden.
Yeah.
Well, the governor, if you want to put it that way.
I mean, they've in The Walking Dead, they always had like a buildup of a reveal of a character. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Here we have the equestrian people. We weren't even thinking that there was that much of a reveal, right?
Right.
These people just kind of showed up. Right. So we don't even really have that anticipation of, okay, are they good or are they bad? Even now, I don't even feel like that. Like, I'm interested to know who they are, but I'm not, I know they're not good.
But you're not scared of
but
them.
But I'm not necessarily scared of them.
I'm like, kind of scared of them. I think part of the reason why that is because we've already had people arriving on horseback. We had the kingdom and so forth like that, which turned out to be really good people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have another group arriving on horseback, and we just don't know. So it's very intriguing to me. They definitely seem very sinister.
They just feel like they're going to be lame.
I agree.
And I hope that's not the case.
Right.
But there has been no real narrative buildup of these people, other than Ed Logan, who was at the buildup is at the start of this episode.
Right.
That is it. There's something big that in some different way they want to change stuff, but they want to take it in the same direction that our people want to take it. Right. That doesn't sound that bad, does it?
No. The problem we have, though, is
I'm all behind the equestrian
it's
people.
It's easy to Go set up a premise. It's easy to set up a premise. It's hard to carry it out.
Yeah.
Lost is a fine example. Lost came up with premise after premise after premise and delivered on almost none of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they kept coming up with the smoke monster led to one thing, then the caves led to another thing, and then John led to another thing, and blah, blah, blah. But none of it was ever resolved.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's easy to come up with the premise. It's hard to carry through the premise to an ending.
Well, I think there is something behind these people that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I just hope it's going to be interesting enough.
But can it be carried out interestingly? Will it be enough to build up for the premise that they're putting out there?
Yeah.
Or the provocative confrontation that they put
out. The writers need to do is go watch Riverdale season 2.
Oh, okay. Goddamn.
And they will see how it's done, where you have the bad person lurking within your group, your family.
I think it's reveal itself. Honestly, I think
was it Jenny, Archie or was it Jughead?
No.
Jenny is going to lead them back to a lair that they have, and you're going to have Fonzarelli jumping a smoke monster.
Now, see, I can see that happening. But I think,
only three episodes, people. That's what I'm calling.
I mean, I don't want to write it for them, but what about a serial killer amongst their group?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They need somebody that's embedded in the group that they have no suspicions of and then starts.
What if Wendell's like, I can walk all along, bitches?
Oh, no,
and he starts taking everybody out.
And then he starts kicking everybody, kung fu fighting.
But I think the actor actually is.
Yeah,
in a wheelchair, so he probably can't do that.
Well, there's special effects and shit.
Okay.
Good. So, next week on Fear the Walking Dead, which will be season 5, episode 14, is called Today and Tomorrow. An encounter with a survivor sends Al and Morgan on a mission into a dangerous settlement. Al chases a lead while Morgan has empathy. Oh, God, really? Grace and Daniel make a connection. Good. Morgan's going to have empathy.
Are you against empathy?
I'm against Morgan's empathy.
Morgan has too much empathy.
Yes, he does.
It's not that he... I don't have a problem with Morgan having empathy. I have a problem with the 15 conversations we're going to have about Morgan's empathy.
Yeah.
And the fact that Morgan never actually says anything in his conversation.
That half an episode where he spent, like, burying the stick that he broke. Get over it, guy. It's a stick.
Morgan's discussions have become like Daryl's. I mean, it's all about facial expressions. You know, say something, dude. Get it out. Jesus, you know, don't grunt. Daryl grunts. But, you know, actually have more than a facial expression to get across a point to somebody.
Totally.
Yeah, or stop talking so much about the same damn thing all the time with Morgan. Too.
Yep. There is that too.
Come on. You rehash this with every character on the show.
We know about Dwayne. Okay. Yes, we know all about Dwayne.
I know they all need to know it, but can you do it off camera? All right. So that's going to happen next week.
Hopefully, I can talk better next week.
Oh, I imagine. Unless you fall
down.
Oh,
you were fine. You were fine. I'm sure no one...
You were adorable, actually.
Yeah, no one had anything.
Adorably boring.
I think people are going to be sending you chocolates and all kinds of stuff.
That would be fantastic if you'd like my mailing address.
Please, our listeners, please rain Kim with salutations and
ibuprofen.
And get well.
Yeah.
and OxyContin and hydrocodone.
Yes.
And whatever else you might have handy.
CBD. All right. If you want to do that, contact us on Twitter at Fear Me Podcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/fearmepodcast, or...
At my face.
What?
No, just go ahead.
Or you can email us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.